We have in Matthew chapter 24 what is known as the Olivet Discourse. That discourse given by Christ upon the Mount of Olives. And the Olivet Discourse comes in response to questions that are put to Christ by his disciples. As he sits upon the Mount of Olives, verse 3 tells us that the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world?" And in response to these questions from the disciples, the Lord Jesus Christ describes for us the character and the course of this age. That age which, of course, culminates in the blessed return of our Savior. And he speaks of an age of religious deception. Verse 4, his first word is a word of warning. "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." And he says further in verse 11, "And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many." We live in an age of religious deception. Then it is to be an age characterized by war. Look at verse 6, "And ye shall hear of wars, and rumors of wars." It's an age, moreover, of famine, of pestilence, of earthquakes. Verse 7. He speaks, moreover, in chapter 24, of a time of tribulation, a time of great trouble. In fact, so great is it, he says in verse 21, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." A time of unparalleled trouble in the earth. A time of great tribulation, hitherto unknown in all of human history and never to be surpassed. It's a time of tribulation which seems, according to the Savior here, to have as its center the land of Israel. For special instruction is given to those who are in Judea, verse 16. Days of difficulty, days of trouble. Moreover, the Savior speaks of days of difficulty for the professing Church of Jesus Christ. He talks of many being offended, verse 10. He talks of traitors in the camp, verse 10 as well. He talks of hatred. And then he goes on and he says in verse 12, our text, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." You know, it's very important to be informed in these matters. These are not verses we can go through and run over and shut the Bible and think to ourselves, these have nothing to do with us. Why is it important? Well, you take our text. The Savior is saying, there are circumstances in which many will fail. There are circumstances which will arise in which the love of many shall wax cold. A circumstance of failure. Surely it behoves us to know why. Surely it behoves us then to know the times in which such an awful circumstance may come to pass. Surely it behoves us to be ready, to be forewarned as to be forearmed. It behoves us to know the times. Now in this text, and we want to go through it very simply, in this text we have first of all the corruption of the age. Abounding iniquity is the hallmark of this age. and because iniquity shall abound. That iniquity that Paul warned Timothy about. And listen to Paul's words to Timothy, describing the age in which Timothy will have to minister and the age in which we live. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times, times of danger, danger for the child of God, danger for the church of Christ, danger for the ministers of Christ, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Paul details a veritable flood of iniquity. It's just not just one thing, but it's one after the other. An engulfing tide of sin, making the last days dangerous times, perilous times. It is wickedness. It is iniquity that has an historical and biblical precedent. We should not be unaware of what verses 37 and 38 of Matthew chapter 24 has to say about the age. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. We cannot miss the comparison that's made. The historical and the biblical precedent that is given. The comparison between Noah's time, the character of Noah's age, and today, the age in which we live. And what was the character of the days of Noah? God looked at man in the days of Noah. He looked at him with the eye, the all-seeing eye of divinity. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every, or the whole, imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. A situation of abounding iniquity. It's wickedness that has an historical and biblical precedent. It is wickedness or sin which is sanctioned at a governmental level. And that is very important. We're not just talking about iniquity in terms of the individual. When we look at Matthew chapter 24, we're looking at government-sanctioned sin. We're looking at the nations. The nations. Notice what verse 9 has to say. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations. Who's doing the delivering up? Who's doing the afflicting? Who's passing the death sentence? Of course, it's at a government level. Has to be. And is that not what we see today? Do we not see sin sanctioned at a governmental level? Do we not see governments declaring that which is patently evil according to God's word? Do we not see them declaring evil to be good and the good to be evil? Of course we do. Even in the very announcements with regards to the fund that is to be set up. Because Christians might be taken to court over holding the view that sodomy is repugnant and wrong and wicked and abominable. Sin sanctioned at a governmental level. And you know, it is iniquity, very clearly here, which aims at and is successful to a degree in overwhelming this Christian faith. If you look at verses 9 and 10, there is a clear agenda at play here. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations, for my name's sake. Do you notice how united the nations are in verse 9? I tell you, you couldn't get agreement between the nations. Nations perpetually are warring with one another. They're at disagreement. They're at variance with one another. But here is something that will unite them. And what is it? It's hatred of Christ and hatred of His people and hatred of His ways. You will be hated. What does it say? For my name's sake. You'll be hated because you're a Christian. You'll be hated because you're prepared to step forward and say, no, that's wrong. That's wicked. That's not God's way. That's the serving of judgment, and people will hate you for it. And governments will hate you for it. Energized by a spirit of satanic hatred for Christ and His gospel, the nations who have given themselves wholeheartedly to iniquity will unite to destroy the Christian faith. The corruption of the age. Iniquity shall abound. Then the coldness of this age. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. In a situation of abounding iniquity, coldness in the things of God is very often the sad result. Now we have to be honest. There is a general coldness in the work of God at the present time. There are difficulties in reaching the unsaved. It is not the case as it has been in former times that the unsaved are flocking out to the services. We have the difficulty in Belfast. We find it very difficult in attracting unsaved people to the meetings. And I understand there's a difficulty right across the province and many parts of it in this area. There is a general coldness. There's no doubt about it. There is a coldness among the Lord's people. By and large, Christian people are not greatly enthused about the cause of Christ. They're not on fire for God in the way that they once were. Not greatly enthused, not greatly full of zeal for prayer and for preaching and for protest. Not greatly chastened and affected by the cause of Christ. There's no doubt that coldness is there. And I would suggest to you, part of the problem is identified here in verse 12. Iniquity is abounding. And that abounding iniquity is happening its cold and deadening effect upon the people of God. And could I suggest to you, the more you give way to that iniquity, the more you go along with that wickedness, the deader you will become. And the colder towards the things of God you will become. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. You see, the Savior's talking here. He's talking here about a situation where it's going to cost people to love Him. The only way you demonstrate your love for Christ, real love for Christ, is demonstrated in obeying Christ. If you love me, keep my commandments. And verse 9 tells us that people that keep His commandments are going to be hated. In other words, it's going to cost to love and to live for Jesus Christ. And you know, when it costs, that's when, if you like, with
due respect to the ladies, that's when you separate the men from the boys. That's when the real Christians come to the fore. We can all go on well with the Lord on the Sunday when it doesn't cost nothing. But once it comes to the door, once it's starting to cost, once you're under pressure, once there's hard decisions to be made, sacrifices to be made, that's when the real Christian comes to the fore. And that's when some fall away. That's when some fall away. In a situation of abounding iniquity, the love of many shall wax cold. And you know, this has, over the medium and long term, a devastating effect upon the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The work of Christ goes forward when people are enthused about the work. When people are not just going through the motions in prayer, but they're really praying. The heart is really in it. And it's the same, by the way, for those in the pulpit. You get real preaching when the man's heart is in what he is saying. And I tell you, when you have this deadening effect, when you have this spread of coldness right through the work, in the long term, it's deadly and it's a serious issue. The coldness of the age. I want to say a word about the conflict of the age. For you know, there is one word in this text which encourages me, and it's that word many. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now you say to me, why on earth would that encourage you? Well, it encourages me because it's not the word all. Not all will succumb. Iniquity will abound. It will stretch out its poisonous arms. It will take many in its deadly embrace. But not all will succumb. There will be those who will persevere. There will be those who will go on with God. There will be those who will contend for the faith. And they will be delivered. And verse 14 tells me that those who have endured, those who go on, according to verse 13, these will be the people who will take the gospel into every nation. For what does verse 14 say? This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Those nations that hate Christ. Those nations that have murder in their heart and murder in their mind concerning the people of Christ. Gospel's going to those nations. There will be no no-go areas for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The most hostile will be evangelists, and there will be a people who will go on with God and who will take up the banner of the cross and will take the gospel into those nations. But you know something? It's not going to be easy. It's going to be a battle a day. There is going to be a great conflict. There will be a conflict within. For you see, the many who have grown cold, they're not going to appreciate the few who are still going on with God, who are still standing for the old paths, who are still looking to the old Savior. They're not going to appreciate them taking the gospel. And there will be a conflict without, an unholy trinity of false religion, godless government, and a populace that is sunk in sensuality and sin, will use every means at their disposal to destroy the people of God. But God says, this gospel shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And if God says it, it doesn't matter what government says nay to it. If God says it, it doesn't matter how powerful the nations are, what armies they have at their disposal. If God says it, it will happen. The gospel will be preached. It will be preached in all the world. And right up until the end, the gospel will have its success. There will be men and women still coming to Christ right up until the end of this age. The conflict of the age. Now let me ask you, are you in the battle? For there is a conflict waging now. I think it's only in its early stages. I think the battle is set to hotten to quite a considerable degree. But are you in the battle? Are you contending for God now? Well, as a Christian, you have a responsibility to get involved and get battling for the Lord Jesus Christ. The conflict of the age, and then the conclusion of the age. It says here, iniquity shall abound, but it will only abound for a time. God will bring the whole thing to an end. People, you know, today, they're looking about and they see things that are happening, things that would have been unheard of in years ago. And they're saying, just where is it all going? Where is it going to end? Well, God's going to bring it to an end. And he tells us what's going to happen. Verse 29. After the great tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Jesus Christ will come again. That will bring it all to an end. The iniquity that has abounded, it will come to an end, just as it did in Noah's day. People in Noah's day thought it would never end. The world would just go on as it had always gone on. People think that today. God's saying, I know iniquity's abounding. I know all about the false prophets. I know all about the hatred of the nations. I know all about the devil who is behind every bit of it. But he's saying to his people, it's not always going to be like that. There is a day in God's calendar, a day known to the Father. And as sure as I am standing here today in front of you, that day will come. And men and women shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. The wheat will be gathered into the garner, and the chaff will be destroyed. Let us then live as those who know the times and who are awaiting the coming of the King. Men and women, the day draws near. You can see the way things are going. You don't need to be a preacher or someone who is particularly theologically educated to see the downward path that this word is taking. And it will come to an end. God will allow it to go on for so far, but no further. Just as he did in Noah's time, they went so far, and then God called it to an end. Noah and his family went into the ark, the door was shut, and the flood came. And you never seen so many bewildered people on that day of the flood. And that will be just the same. The tribes of the earth, they're going to mourn. They're going to see Jesus Christ. Men and women, it's coming. What are we to do? We are to be faithful. We are to be faithful. Every Christian striving for the well done of God. How do you get the well done of God? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Doesn't mean you have to be successful. Doesn't mean you have to have led 10,000 souls to the Savior. Just means you have to be faithful. You have to go on with God. You have to commit your way to Him. You have to live as one whose garments have been washed white clean in the blood of the Lamb. And if the world wants to go down the route
of abounding iniquity. That's the world's funeral. You stay out of it. You keep yourself right with God. For God knows what's going on. But more than that, God expects you to stand apart from it. Noah was expected to stand apart. And he did so. And God delivered him. And you know, people talk about Noah being a great failure. Well, let me tell you something. Noah got his family out. Noah got his family out. And if that's failure, well, I'd like some of that. That was no failure. That was a man who was faithful to the Lord. That was a man who obeyed God. God in his mercy delivered his family. Men and women, we're living in dark and dangerous days. We're living in crisis days. We're living in days when the people of God are divided. We need to look to the Lord again. We need to commit our way to Him. We need to look on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We're going